Okay, wake up. Praise the Lord. And shame on the devil. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. And Sean, in the back. Oh, you're eating?
I'm sorry.
All right. Chuck, if you're not eating, you can pray for us and see what the Lord has in store for us today.
All right. Well, Father, we're truly thankful for you, thankful for your love, thankful for that empty tomb where your son rose from, and thankful
Amen.
For this day.
Amen.
Opportunity to study your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, a little business to clean up first before we prod along. I had mentioned before about Focus on the Family back in 1992. I used to listen to Focus on the Family almost every single day. The programming was fantastic. Totally fantastic. I really enjoyed James Dobson. And his co-host at that time, I think his first name was Mike. I'm not too sure of his last name at that time. But around that time frame, I remember hearing distinctly that he talked on the, with his co-host there, that they had been doing business with Word Publishers in Arizona, and I distinctly remember them saying that they were printing a book for Madonna that had soft porn in it. Now, whether they did any other pornography, I don't know. I just know that they did at least one book, and he was very upset with that and contacted them and asked them not to do it. But they did it anyway. The book was apparently wrapped up in cellophane and put out on the market. And so he decided to go ahead and take away his business from them. And I heard him distinctly say on the program that not too long afterwards, Mellon Bank, which is where they had all their finances at, had canceled them as a client. Distinctly remember this. The reason I remember it that way, guys, because in the 80s, there was another, unfortunately, Bible publishing house, who I won't name. I went ahead and bought a pornography house. And so I was connecting the dots from what was happening. I was watching Christianity in the 80s fall apart. And so that's why I picked up on it. I picked up on it, too, because Chick Publications had published in one of their newspapers, which I probably have in my garage somewhere, all right? The Illuminati was the top corporation out of London, and they owned 24 other corporations in like a stepladder. And number 25 was Word Publishers. If you know anything at all about Illuminati, what are they doing owning a Christian publishing company? So the dots connect up. In the Illuminati's corporation, number 12 happened to be CBS. So if anyone tells you they bought CBS, there's still 11 corporations above it that go right to the Illuminati. All right, so I connected the dots on that one. I was interested in Mellon Bank because that's one of the seven families that run America, big time. And then I just found out a couple of weeks ago their connection with the Johnstown flood. Fascinating. And so, just like Pastor Miller, I tried doing my own research to find out what was documented. I couldn't find anything either. Now, I will tell you this without a doubt, the internet is not the Word of God. The internet is not going to document every single thing you see out there. In fact, it's going to hide a lot of stuff. It will hide it. All right? If you do a web search on the Council of Five, the five great companies that run the entire earth in the financial department, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it whatsoever. All right? When Kennedy was in office, February of 1962, he came up with, I think, 10 or 11 executive orders that sets up a dictatorship. You're not going to find that on there at all. Now, where did I find it? Dr. Ruckman. I've got it in one of his newspapers, and he outlined exactly what the executive orders were. But you're not going to find that there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Biden just signed them all already to set up a dictatorship. All right? There's a gospel track I had with the American flag on it, and I had a quote by John Kennedy, and another pastor of another church could not find that one quote. So he decided it was not true and threw it in the garbage can. Okay? Why? He didn't even have the right Bible to start with. And he could research that and find what the right Bible is. He could find out all the corruption. You can find that on the internet. All right? It's all there. So I will tell you at this point, I was at another church one time, and they got a new pastor in. And he decided to take all the cassette tapes of the other pastor and throw them in the garbage can. All right? So unless any of the members had any copies of it, that part of history is gone. I even watched the pastor take his own stuff and throw it in the garbage can.
You know, when Hank Hanegraaff swooped in to take control of the Bible Answer Man radio program, Christian Research Institute, he took Walter Martin's tapes. Thankfully, his daughter had a lot of them. I don't think she had them all, but she had a lot of them, so they were made available later. But that kind of thing's crazy. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Hey,
yeah.
The Council of Five does come up on the internet.
Huh?
The Council of Five does come up if you do a search.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
You and I got to check.
Good. Check it out. Well, I checked it out one time.
It's a video game thing, but it does come up as the leadership of the Illuminati.
Okay, yes. Okay, good. But you never know. You never know what you're going to find out. You have to, our mainstay here at BBF is the Word of God. Right here, the Authorized King James. This is what we trust. Everything in the world as lunacy, except this book right here. And the only reason I mentioned that story, guys, is listen up. I had admired James Dobson, not because he was a Bible man or nothing, okay? His goal was to help restore families. I came from a broken family. Anyone that's trying to restore families, I'm for. All right? I'm for it 100%. And one of the things he did is he took a stand, and he paid for it. And guys, if you and I are going to take a stand for the Lord, it's not a whole bunch of roses thrown at you and people applaud. When you take a stand, the other side will shoot at you. And we just have to be careful here that we're on the winning side, even if we lose every battle there is down here. We're still on the winning side. Yes?
I don't listen to it, but you know, I don't remember when it happened, but James Dobson left Focus on the Family. He has another show called Family Talk that
yeah.
he does with his son. And I don't know why he left. So.
Well, here's what happened with James Dobson, okay? He came back from vacation, and he was told that he was no longer on the board of directors. Yeah. And they said, by the way, you're not co-hosting your program anymore either. They said, in fact, you're not drawing any more money from here. You're fired. He was totally released.
Wow.
Now, that was the organization he started. Huh?
Go on vacation.
Who did that to him?
Huh?
That was the work of who?
Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family.
No, I mean, that was the work that did to him. That was the work of...
Yeah, Focus on the Family was started by James Dobson.
Right. But you said the guys that fired him, that was the work of...
The board.
of the board.
Yeah, whatever. Now, in our group, we'd call that a conspiracy. They plotted against him and knocked him out. All right? If you got what, guys, what Bible proof? John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All right? That's an interesting Bible study when you go all the way through Scripture. Johnny.
Maybe this is somewhat random, but I think there were at least two Marvel movies that had a similar thing like that happen.
Okay.
I think it was Spider-Man number one with
Harry Osborn,
yeah.
He kicked off his own board.
Or at least the board said that they had all voted to sell the company.
Oh, yeah.
Without his approval.
Yeah.
And then I think what was the other one was the Fantastic Four one, where, although that one might have been slightly different, but essentially they were going to sell the company or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't religious.
No.
Okay.
No, none of them was religious, but it's like, I guess, mirroring reality in movies.
Yeah. I went to work one day. I mean, I went on vacation. When I came back, I had a new boss. But that's irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
Going on vacation is a dangerous thing.
It's already stressful that you're cutting.
The point really, though, is that there's no such thing in the Bible as parachurch ministries. So they're already often unbiblical.
Right.
Correct.
Then there are deacons in the Bible, but there's no deacon board.
Correct.
And they don't vote on a pastor in the way that most churches do. If a pastor has, you know, been disqualified by adultery or embezzlement or something like that, then the church as a body in the scripture, they just would go to and say, listen, we can't sit under you as a pastor anymore because you're disqualified. And the pastor sometimes would belligerently refused to step down, and those people would have to then leave and start a new church, find a new pastor.
Yes.
And people say, well, that's awful messy. That ain't nothing compared to what this man-made stuff has created, where most churches have been totally taken over by boards, and they're not even biblical in their message anymore.
Correct.
So, you know, we talked about that before. You were talking about some other preacher who got bounced, and it was all this unbiblical ideas about boards.
Yeah.
So that's the culprit was James Dobson isn't a Bible-believing Christian in the narrow sense of the word. I believe he's a saved man.
Oh, amen.
He doesn't attend a Bible-believing church, and he's not following biblical modeling when it comes to his own ministry.
Yeah. Well, when I found out that he didn't have the correct Bible, and then he confessed that he was not a Bible scholar, I understood him better, but also made the prediction that in his organization, if he wasn't careful, he'd be picking people that would throw him out. And I made that prediction way before.
But have a model where they can throw it out.
Yeah,
I mean, so
exactly.
You pick human beings, and then you put a wrong model, you got a deadly mix right there.
Totally, yeah. So the fact that he was willing to take a stand, guys, that's what the purpose was for. I meant no harm at all to focus on the family. And the people that are there now don't remember it because they weren't there. All right? So, they still have good programming if you like to listen to it. Johnny.
So since we're talking about, you know, how a church group should be structured as far as with a pastor and other, what would you think would be the best model to use then? Just
the biblical model.
Which is
the Bible.
Specifically what?
BBF.
Well, this is what the Bible teaches. You didn't see Paul having board meetings and voting on what color carpet to put in the building, you know, all this stuff. It's just all this nonsense everybody gets caught up in. And really, it's a simple model, is that you have a pastor, like I just said. If you're going to bounce a pastor because he sinned in the past, forget it. We're all disqualified.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have a pastor who, as your pastor, has not been involved in embezzlement, adultery, or anything like that, and then above that demonstrates he's qualified, apt to teach, etc., then you're to follow him. And if you don't like it, you leave. And if you, the way you have in churches now because of this unbiblical model is it's like politics. And they start politicking to try to get a majority of people who will vote the pastor out in these elections they have there.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen.
So, you know, I do everything I can to be a biblical model of a pastor and obviously not do anything to disqualify myself above that. But if anybody starts, you know, like they don't like what this church is about or anything, I just tell them, listen, I don't think you have to go here to go to heaven, you know.
It's not a cult.
If you don't like this, then find another church.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know any around within a driving distance that you'll get what we have here. So, you know, but if this isn't what you want. Most people aren't out in the Bible-believing churches that teach the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the main problem I run into now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've had them go out there because we don't believe baptism saves you. Well,
we don't because
we never going to teach that.
That's why we don't take the little kids out because that's not a biblical model. We don't kids and take them in a room. And
there are some church. There's quite a few churches right now that your child can start from the nursery and never set a foot and hear real preaching.
Yeah.
And they're taught all the games. They're taught how fun it is. And when they become teenagers, they throw it away.
That's not how we did it, though.
You know?
But he's right. That's how.
But you were the exception that proves the rule.
And we did both.
Wait till in heaven we're going to meet 10-year-olds that came down from the mountains during the Dark Ages and preached the gospel. You show me any 10-year-olds today interested in preaching the gospel. And we'll need to be burned at the stake for it. It's in the history books if you check. Those kids, how well did the mom and dad instill the love of the Lord in those kids? How well? The whole thing can be cleared up here with 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And what's happened here in America, guys, is we have a bloodless Christianity. It's no longer by the blood, it's by works. And it's by position, it's by power. And America just reeks of it. There is no blood of Christ running around. If there's any lack we have of all, it's the blood of Christ that cleanses what? From all sin. Well, let's go ahead and take a look in Isaiah 21. We'll start with verse 4 and go down to verse 10 and see if we can have a little bit of fun with this in the next few minutes. I'll do the even and I'll let you do the odd. Starting in verse 4, and as we start verse 4, remember, this is a grievous vision. God has given Isaiah a vision a second time over Babylon. The first one was nonchalant. There's the enemy. God's going to wipe him out. Now it's gotten to his heart. And guys, Christianity works when it gets to the heart, not to the mind. Christianity in the mind doesn't bear fruit. Christianity in the heart bears fruit. Verse 4, my heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me.
Prepare
the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, rise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he saith. He saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. Behold, cometh the chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Oh, my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you.
Amen.
Wow. Amen and amen. As we shared before, he sees this vision, and it's got him worked up. Notice here it says, my heart panted. All right, it's like thirsting for water. There's something that grabbed a hold of him. You'll notice the dog, when he does a whole lot of running, will pant. Okay. I've never seen our cats do it. But dogs do, okay? His heart, he said, is panting. Fearfulness. This guy is scared to death. He's frightened. Probably if you ever come close to having a car wreck where you're within an inch of hitting the next guy, you are scared to death because you know what's coming next if you hit him. The night of my pleasure. Now notice here, if you guys are like me at all, you worked a good hard day and you're going, I can't wait to go home and put my feet up, have a nice beverage, watch something nice, enjoy my family or whatever. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. He was planning on having this vision, but when it came, it messed up his whole night. There's been a few times in my life where I've been scared of the dark and where I wished it was daytime. It's not a good feeling to be in. Verse 5, it says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princesses, and anoint the shield. Here I believe he's talking about, I believe it's in Daniel 5. I think it's Belshazzar's having a feast with all his princesses, his kings, and the whole works. And guys, it's Babylon. They have no clue what's coming. They're having a big party. They're having a big feast. It'd be just like here in America, us having a big feast and not knowing what's going around, what's going to happen. Every time I pass out tracts, I'll mention something about gas prices or whatever. You ought to hear the answers I get from people. They all know something's screwy going on, and they're all scared. And they know they can't lift a finger to stop whatever's coming. There's something happening, and they don't know how to prepare for it. Well, here's Great Babylon. They had no clue what was coming that very night. All right? They had no clue whatsoever. Now, notice he says here, arise, ye princesses, and anoint the shield. Isaiah is basically telling them, you guys don't know what's coming down the pike. Anoint your shield. Get your shields ready. Get your swords ready. The horribleness of the Lord is coming in, and he's going to wipe you guys out. It's going to be horrible of what's going to happen. You need to be prepared for what's coming up. Now, you might say, why in the world would Isaiah do that? Well, guys, that's the same ministry you and I have. We know and understand that outside saved people, the rest are going to perish in hell. And you know what? We don't really understand how horrible hell's going to be. You know, and Christ said, don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill body and soul in hell. Right now, when people die, they get buried in the ground or put in an urn. All right? Well, someday that body and soul is going to be reunited, the resurrection of the unjust. And when that happens, they'll be at the great white throne judgment. And the final judgment, body and soul, will be cast into the lake of fire. Yes.
About when I was young in the faith, teacher taught about, I don't know if it's this exact same text or if he was at Ephesians, but he mentioned this anointing the shield. And when they go into battle, they would not just clean it. I mean, they would anoint it. They would put oil or grease or something on it so that the arrows and the spears and everything would deflect better when they were in battle. And then in the spiritual sense, we have the shield of faith.
Yes.
And it is not always a given because you have to be walking by faith. We're saved by faith. But then in our walk, we have to be walking by faith if we're going to benefit from our
Correct.
Relationship with the Lord, and to have that shield of faith anointed is to be walking in the Spirit.
Right.
Yes.
Holding the shield of faith.
Yes.
And people have trouble understanding what that means, but it simply means that you have surrendered your day to the Lord. You are in a attitude of submission to His Word. You go through your day aware of His presence in His Word and with a heart of prayer.
Yes.
And so you're in battle. You're ready for battle at any given moment like that.
Yes.
Having our shield anointed.
And the shield of faith is said to be able to quench all the fighting
words. I only
have to
quench it. Yeah. Amen. I was laughing there. This one guy was preaching on this text, and instead of saying fiery darts, he got the D and the F reversed.
Yeah.
And he couldn't preach for a year. Poor guy.
You're talking about this, Daniel, when he's called upon, he, in a spiritual sense, had his shield of faith.
Yes, he did.
And Belshazzar didn't have his.
Correct.
Anointed, Daniel had his.
Yes, absolutely. The of course, another thing similar to that, at one point in the National Football League, Oakland Raiders especially, they were putting grease or oil on their costumes. So when you went to tackle them, yes, that happened.
Is that legal?
No. Like a spitball in baseball.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this one guy on baseball used to put the grease up under his cap. Yeah. You see him do this with his cap, put it on the baseball, and shh.
Gee.
Yeah.
That happened a lot.
DeRocher, I think, one of the catchers, he would sharpen his belt buckle. And so when he take the ball back to the pitcher, he'd take a chunk out of it. Yeah. See? Guys, we're so evil. We are so evil, and we don't really admit it, okay? But that's just the way we really are, and that's why we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Not on the church, on the Lord. Because it's from the Lord that springs all the blessings. So, in verse 5 here, he's telling them to anoint the shield because of the destruction that's coming. Verse 6, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So, here's what the watchman saw. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. According to one resource I looked at, they thought that the camels were the Persians and the asses were the Medes. But I can neither confirm it or deny it. But there were two groups that came in that night under Belshazzar, both the Medes and the Persians. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. So here's the watchman. He's watching. He's watching the Medes and the Persians come in. And he cried, a lion. If you guys know anything all about all the stories of lions in the Bible, and how lions will tear you up and tear you to shreds. Johnny look up Proverbs 26:13. Let's take a look at Proverbs 26:13. Yep.
Bless you. turn it on. Then it's out of the moon.
The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets.
Okay. Here's what we know about the slothful man. He's not about to venture outside. He sees a lion, he's not going to do nothing. What has happened with Babylon is they did nothing. They weren't prepared. He says, a lion's coming. A lion is coming. And no one moved a finger to stop it.
You're saying they were slothful?
Slothful, yeah.
The Babylonians were slothful?
Yes, I would say they were slothful, yeah.
Well, Belshazzar was as a leader, definitely. He was busy partying.
Yeah.
If you ever study a sloth, they blend in with the woods.
Oh, I've studied sloths because, you know, as a human being, I fight against it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You fight against it the whole life. You got to keep fighting or you'll turn into one.
Oh, absolutely. Johnny.
My interpretation of that verse in Proverbs is more like he's making an excuse. He says, I'm not moving because there might be a lion out there. That's what I thought.
And it's a ridiculous excuse.
Exactly, yeah.
Everybody else is out there. Why can't you be out there?
Yes.
Right.
That's what I thought there.
Jenny.
Just fascinating comparison. David could have taken on that lion easy peasy.
Contrast, that's right.
So if this guy had just done a little practice with a sling.
Not even a sword, a sling. Yeah. Well, in a sense, Daniel took on a lion. He used him as a pillow. Okay, yeah.
Just a little bit off, but food for thought there. One day I came home from work, and I'm not kidding you, I saw the carcass of a mountain lion on the left shoulder of 315. He was dead.
Wow.
And it just made me think, gosh, there could be more out there.
They travel when they're hungry.
Yeah.
When they're in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
They've seen them down in Southern Ohio.
Yeah, they're more in the mountains.
But yeah, Southern Ohio is very good.
Right. Like, I would expect to run into them there, maybe.
Yeah, in Proverbs 30, verse 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. When the lion's coming, he's like a bulldozer. He comes in and you're gone. And that's what we're finding here in Isaiah. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. So this guy's watching day and night. The enemy is coming, and nothing is happening. And guys, the enemy is here in America, and I don't know what's happening, but I'm praying. I'm like Daniel right now. I'm praying hard that something will turn up.
What was that verse before,
30-30? 30-30, yeah.
From what?
Proverbs.
Proverbs, yeah. See, when you come across certain words in the Bible, if you do a Bible study on lions, then when you come across a passage like this, all the verses of lions pop up in the stories. Like, you know, Paul was also thrown to the lions. And I think that's found in 2 Timothy. And apparently, he got along fine with them. Okay, nothing happened to him. Verse 9. And behold, here cometh the chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Babylon is full of idolatry. I think we have a verse out of Revelation 17:5. Sean, can you get Revelation 17:5?
Yes.
Give me a sec.
Because what's predicted here, guys, for the Babylon that happened, I think, in 539 BC, is also going to be happening. If the rapture comes today, it'll be happening in about 7 years.
Amen.
And notice the warning God gives out of Revelation to the people connected with the mystery of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Anoint the shield. Get out. Go ahead, John.
And upon her forehead.
Can you hear me?
Upon her forehead was name written Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Moth, or the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth.
Wow. The abominations. Notice one of the abominations they set up in the temple that Daniel talks about. The abomination, guys, deals a lot with idols, and it deals with the crazy things they do. Yeah. One of the studies I've got going is like breaking each of the Ten Commandments is connected with abomination. Fascinating study. Graven images. If you ever study Mystery Babylon, it is filled with graven images everywhere. And all those graven images, God has thrown them down to the ground and destroyed them. And then in verse 10, oh, my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. When it comes to threshing, when you've got wheat, you have to separate the chaff from the wheat. Here it says he's got a corn on my floor. So he's separating the corn from the husks. All right? When God does a thorough judgment, he separates the good from the bad. And there's sometimes, guys, there's no good at all to separate. He just has to destroy it totally. Oh, my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. These are the things that terrified him and that brought fear to his heart, seeing the almighty, powerful destruction of the Lord on the people of Babylon.
2 minutes.
And it's something that we see need to have concern in our own hearts about the people that are around us, because the same thing is going to be happening to them. When you study the end times, you'll see where God separates the goat from the sheep. Picture of threshing that way, doing the separating. It's found in Psalm 1. He knows the way of the righteous. And we could probably end with that one. Let's see.
Well, another division? Tower of Babel.
Huh?
Tower of Babel's another division.
Yep. See, once you start thinking, everything start pulling itself together. Okay, Psalm 1.
Is that where the term Babel comes from? When we use it as saying, oh, you're babbling, you're just talking incoherently?
Yeah, it means,
does it
means confusion.
Does that come from Tower of Babel?
Yeah, unknown, can't understand it.
Yeah. I don't know if I thought of that before.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen to that. We'll finish with Psalm 1 here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now here's the threshing, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, But the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen.
And see the word perish, connect that with John 3:16. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall not perish.
What was the reference there? That last one you just did?
Psalm 1.
It's a great one to memorize. It's a great one to study. If you notice, it starts off walking, standing, and then sitting. And that's what sin is. You stop following the Lord, you quit walking with them, then you, before you know it, you're standing, and before you know it, you're sitting down, scorning. Yes?
Whenever that verse is read, I think of the story of David watching Bathsheba. A guy used his thing. So he saw the girl, so he walked towards her, and then he just stood there and watched, and then he sat there and watched.
Excellent.
That's when he got in trouble.
And that reminded me, because Pastor Miller taught on Isaiah 20 last week, and he talked about Isaiah being naked. All right? David was supposed to go to war. His shield was supposed to be anointed. He was supposed to go to war. He decided not to go to war. When you and I decide not to go to war, what happened to him will happen to us. He took his armor off. When I was young in the Lord, I was walking down one of the roads there, and the Lord said, I wanted to do a Bible test with you. I said, okay. He said, what's the first piece of armor you're supposed to put on? So I grabbed for my New Testament. I always try to carry a New Testament with me wherever I go. And the Lord said, no cheating. So I made a guess. I said, helmet, okay? He said, now you can look. Have your loins girt about with truth. The loins is the regenerative parts. Have your loins girt about. That's where you get the word girdle. Surround it with the word of God. And what happened? David took off the girdle. And the rest of it is sad, what happens from there. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And Brian, you want to pray for us?
Jared.
Okay, well, I'm a little airy up here. Go ahead. Jared, right?
Yep.
If you could pray for us, that'd be great. I like that smile. Amen.
All right, onliners. See you in a bit. Go get your tea.